We are at the end of Shin Yud Ches Sif Dalet. The last little part of Shin Yud Ches Sif Dalet has been dealing with the issue of hot liquids. Anything that is so the Rama comments that anything that is hard, anything that is unedible without any type of cooking, without any type of involvement of liquid, especially hot liquid, so you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, because that is Gemar Malacha, that is the completion of the Malacha. So again, we pointed out last week that it can't be that that's talking about Makava Patish. When we say Gemar Malacha, that sounds like, you know, you're finishing up, right? That's not what it's talking about. That's what the Be'er Halacha says. That can't be. Saying that you're finishing up the issue of cooking, and that goes back to the idea we talked about last week, that the that anything that is, if anything is kali habishal, anything is easily cooked, such as these old fishes, like these sardines or things like that. Those types of things that are easily cooked. So even if you put them in a klisheni, so that's considered a. All right, we'll get to this. He's already fighting.
He likes sardines.
No, sardines. No one's got a problem with the sardines. That's what's going on here in this one. So anything that's because these fish, whatever these fishies are, they're going to be cooked very quickly, just even by a kli sheni. So that's considered cooking it, as opposed to other things where it's not cooked unless it is a kli rishon. So that, of course, brings up the very famous and important issue of tea. So we could pick up, we don't really have to, the Mishnah Berurah gives a long dissertation here, uncharacteristically long Mishnah Berurah on how one goes through the processes of making tea and what is mutter and what's asur, which is very instrumental in just getting a good understanding of what this whole kli rishon, kli sheni, lest I say kli shlishi, because it doesn't appear here in the Mishnah Berurah, all of these issues. So let's go, if about five lines before it becomes wide, it begins with the words hine laros. See those words? Two words before the end of the line, about five lines before it gets wide, in the Mishnah Berurah on page Kuf Lamed Hey. Right, so we're good? Mm-hmm. Good. So hine laros mikli rishon al ole hati, the klipa. So he says the first thing is to pour directly from a kli rishon, to take from a kettle and pour that on a tea. That's for sure a problem. That's what we call iroi kli rishon. And as we assumed, according to 99% of authorities, that would be a problem. You'd be mevashla kedei klipa. Though we assume that iroi kli rishon, the pouring from a kli rishon, does not cook whatever it's being poured upon, right? It cooks a small amount, a sliver, the outside, the klipa is like the shell of whatever you're pouring upon. So you're surface. Causing some type of bishul.
Surface.
Surface, okay. It cooks the surface, so you're causing some kind of bishul, and therefore that's bishul, that's an isser on Shabbos. Fine. We learned that in Yerodea, fine. The kol shekenim yamidu achar kach al hatanur obetocha
kochlen.
And certainly, if we leave it there, such that it becomes very, very hot, so that could be a problem. That could be an iser skila. Meaning, if you leave that klipa there, so that it cooks more, so that would be an iser. That could be an iser d'oraisa. V'afilu im yirtza litein es ole hati l'tocha kli acher sheyara hachamin l'tocha. And even to take the tea leaves, the tea leaves, and pour that into a second kli that you're going to pour water into. What's he talking about? He's talking about a kli sheni. Right? You take one cup and pour it into a second cup, and then I'm going to put the tea bag in that kli sheni. Gam kein aser. That's also aser. That's what this sif was about. The davar shaloba bechamin melifnei haShabbos. Shabbos ain't shorin b'Shabbos afilu b'kli sheni. That's something that was never heated up before Shabbos should not be soaked or should not be put into hot water on Shabbos, even if it's a kli sheni. The kol shekein lefi mashemavur b'siv zen, certainly according to what we've assumed in this statement here, the yesh dvarim rachim kolei habishal Shemisbashlim afilu badachim miklisheni. That there are such things as kali habishal, that there are things that are lightly cooked, that are very easily cooked, very lightly, very quickly cooked. Shemisbashlim afilu badachim miklisheni. Efshar di yesh bahalim gamkein chashash iser do raisa afilu ba'ofenze. So to take things that are lightly cooked, those things are for sure cooked in a klisheni. So if tea leaves, one can make a case that those would be considered kali habishal. One can make such a case, right? And especially since we pass in that we're a koshish, that everything is kali habishal. So tea leaves for sure can be considered kali habishal. And therefore, if you put them into a kli sheni, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's a chashash of an isra d'oraisa. Now here already, the Mishnah Berurah is not on is certainly not on unanimous grounds, even among the achronim. That there are the tradition has it is that the Soloveitchik family would use a cliche.
I saw it in print.
Right.
Well, I can get you a Watson.
In the halachic positions of Rav Soloveitchik in that book?
No. I saw it in a Watson. What's his name has it? Sal has it.
Okay.
Sal showed it to me.
Yeah. All right, I believe you. No, this isn't a hidden, deep, dark secret from the recesses of Hawaii. No, it's known that the Soloveitchik family would assume
they can't be the only ones, because I'm telling you, I drank out of a cliche in the house of the grandson of the Navarika Rosh Hashanah, of Rabbi Yaffin's grandson.
Is that someone who lived here?
No, they're in Queens.
Never heard of it.
No,
I'm not Queens. Okay. There's such a world out there. There are those that assume that this klisheni is okay. That the Shulchan Aruch says klisheni in mavashel, exceptions notwithstanding. The Gemara explicitly says what those exceptions are. And if it's not one of those exceptions, you don't have to worry about a klisheni in mavashel. End of story. So the Mishnah Berurah is not possible.
Shulchan Aruch says it does enum avashel, but the Mishnah Berurah says
no. The Mishnah Berurah says that there are things that a cliche we pass. Yes, it's a Gemara the cliche in enum avashel. Again, the second step is the Shulchan Aruch says, and the Gemara says, the Mishnah says that there are certain things that a klisheni is mavashel, and then the Magen Avraham later on said, oh well, we don't really know what those things are, therefore we're going to consider everything kali avishel, and that's where the chumrah, that's where the klisheni chumrah came from, not the whole like a klisheni. That's what the Mishnah Berurah here is a circle like.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I understand about cooking little fish.
Yes.
What exactly is the concept of cooking tea?
What do you mean?
Well, if you put something small that can be cooked in the ratio,
right,
and you cook it and then you can eat it,
right,
you don't actually eat the tea leaves. Is that a
well, right. So this is the we've gone through we did this in the Shabbos shir, as Joel fondly remembers. No, that's okay. That what are you doing with the tea leaves? Are you cooking the tea leaves, and that what causes the color? So that's what that was what the Aruch HaShulchan wrote, right? So you see that when you put the tea leaves in a klisheni, the flavor goes all over the place. To which Rav Moshe responded, That's not cooking. If you put a tea bag in cold water, it would also spread the flavor around.
They sell that, you know, the sun, iced sun tea.
It's iced tea, right. It's the same with coffee also, right? It will spread. That's not necessarily assuming that the tea is cooking. It used to be, right? That's the Aruch HaShulchan's assumption. Said that, how does the tea work? That you have a tea bag, you put it in, the tea bag cooks, that spreads the flavor around, and therefore you can see with your own eyes that works even a klisheni. So comes Rav Moshe and says, that's not cooking. You were talking in a different language, right? That's not cooking, that's just flavoring. That has nothing to do with cooking. But the fish, on the other hand, the Mishnah Berurah discusses the fish, that the fish would actually cook, that it wasn't edible, and if you put it in a klisheni, it would become edible. That's what we're talking about with the fish. All right?
Fish, I understood.
All right, so what are we talking about here? The davar shelo b'avacham lefnei sha'im, v'kol shekein lefi mashu b'vavar, okay. V'al korchach, so on the third line, v'al korchach hiskimu ha'achronim, d'yish laros aleim mi'erev Shabbos. This is what his advice is. That we should do is we should pour onto the tea bags from before Shabbos hot water from a kli rishon. K'dei sha'ayadei zeh yenikra ha'tei mevushel. Therefore the tea becomes cooked, b'miksas d'iroi mevashel k'dei klipa. Right, you pour water on top of it, it cooks it enough. V'yafich be'isa iroi eshati heite v'toch harodchin milamalu lamata milamalu lamata. And you should make sure, you should flip it around. You should make sure that you get all the different sides of the tea. And it's best if you put the tea in something else. V'acharach yarik esha essence l'ki'acher k'di she'yisharu alei hati. And then you could take the essence and put that into another thing so that you and save the tea leaves. Yaveshim. And then you would even be able to take the tea leaves themselves and pour them on put them on Shabbos on into hot water. Mikli Rishon, Keon Shekfar Nisbash, because it's already cooked me Erev Shabbos. It's going to make the new water dark. Right? They're saying that's not cooking. Obviously, it's not cooking. That's just the flavor going out. Kedin davar yavish, and therefore it's like a davar yavish. The kaimelam besif zez we paskin in this sif. The ainbo bishul achar bishul afilu im nitzdanein, even if it totally cooled off. Achach mutu lahachzer gam mea essence elu atzonim tochakli. It also would be mutu to just take the mea essence, the liquid, the tea concentrate. All right, gufa v'chmoshik hasavnu leil the davar lach nitzdanein mutu lo litnu betoch kli sheni rutach. As we said earlier, that a davar lach that was liquid, that was cooled off, you're allowed to put it into a kli sheni. So once it's already cooked, either the liquid or the tea leaves themselves, one is permitted to pour into you can have that mixed with a kli sheni, no problem, you've solved all of your Hilchos Shabbos questions.
I'm sorry, my Hebrew is not allowed
to go.
I'm having trouble with the root.
Essence.
Of essence.
Are you going to be one of those?
Polish words.
The Yisher Bo Mashka essence, Hare Kaimelon de Balach, Yish Bishel Achar Bishel. The Yisher Bo, that if you leave some of the liquid of the essence, Hare Kaimelon, you assume that Balach, there is Yish Bishel Achar Bishel, in its Danin. What are we talking about here? The Yish. What did I just leave here? The aim of Bishel Achar Bishel, Afilu im Nitzdanin. The Yisher Bo Mashka Ha essence, Hare Kaimelon de Balach, Yish Bishel Achar Bishel, in Nitzdanin.
Still be a problem.
I mean, in a kli rishon, im lo shemei ha'essence hatzoninim heim meruvim shelo yischamimu al yedei hamayim shemar aleim lemachar. Wait, what do we? What do we mean here? Oh, this is why I understand. He's before the brackets, he was saying that one should use the tea bags themselves. So why not use the essence? Why should you dry it out? He's saying the yisher bo mashka essence was if you leave some of the liquid in the tea bags, so then that's lach. And there is, we assume, we pask, at least according to the Ramah, that there is bishul achar bishul if it totally cools off. Unless the liquid was more, that it wouldn't actually get hot by the hot water. Rather, it would be cooling off the hot water wouldn't be heating up the cold water. It would be the cold water heating up the hot water. So he's saying that either you can take the liquid and pour that into a kli sheni, or if you insist on using a kli rishon and you want to use your tea bags with the kli rishon, so the only thing to do is you got to completely dry out the tea bags. You got to leave it out so it's completely dry. So if it's liquid, so then you're going to have a problem of yesh bishul achar bishul with the liquid, because the liquid will presumably become cold overnight.
Lost me when you brought the tea bags back. I thought we were using essence.
The Mishnah gives two options. There is the bracketed option and the open and the open option. The open option, the Mishnah seems to be recommending that you pour onto the tea bags or whatever he was using then, tea leaves, right? The tea leaves are now cooked. Right, you get rid of the water.
You do this before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos, right? You get rid of the water, let the tea dry out, and now you can use those tea bags. Ein bishul achar bishul by a davar yavish. It's a dry thing, you don't have to worry.
You can do that even in a kli rishon.
Even in a kli rishon, it sounds like. Even pour, right, a kli rishon on.
As long as there's no liquid left.
As long as there's no liquid left, right.
Or you can use the essence.
Right, in the brackets he talks about using the essence and just using the essence with a kli sheni. He seems to be a little bit more excited about this kli rishon concept, I'm not sure why. Yeah. That's what I did when I, for some, I remember when I first got married, I used to do that Erev Shabbos. I used to take this chumrah against Rav Moshe, admittedly against Rav Moshe, and yeah, I used to roast the tea bags before Shabbos and leave them out. And
I don't like it so much. I'm not a tea drinker, I never drink tea. But if you pour water on the before Shabbos, doesn't that kind of take the zing out of it?
Right.
You get, I don't know, that's, we had my...
How many times can you use a tea?
Right. Well, I think you can use it more than once. I don't know. That's my focus, me and my parents and in-laws, because over the last 2 weeks... Over the last 2 weeks in my house, when I, Baruch Hashem, and my parents and in-laws both staying over at alternate times, there was constantly a wet tea bag sitting on the counter.
You know what I do when I see a wet tea bag? I see them in my house, too. I throw it away.
So far be it for me to raise the issue with my in-laws. With my parents, I said, what's going on here? We could afford the 3 cents for another tea bag.
Probably get some from there. That's pretty.
Obviously, it also makes a difference in the tea itself, of course. I mean, you use a used tea bag, you're going to get much less of a tea.
Right.
So
right. All right, so what does he say here about coffee? Yishach b'shim etzani im lo shemeya esen satzonin im heim ruben... okay. V'chin hadin linyan coffee. He holds the same thing by coffee, right? Kof ayl aleph vav yud. Yizar shlo yara le yamayim chamim mikli rishon. You certainly shouldn't pour on fresh coffee, not instant coffee. Coffee that has not been cooked before, right? You shouldn't pour water directly on it. Unless you've done it the day before, and you got all the water out of it, and it would be the same reasoning as by the tea. Tea and coffee are the same thing. That even though we matter you to pour hot water onto the tea and coffee, as long as you poured water on it the day before, if a kli rishon, afal pi kein yizahir shlo yamid es hativa hakofi betanur o bekachlin achar sheshafach aleihem mayim daha ein iroi mevashel rak kidei klipa. That if you're only going to do iroi the day before, so and today you're going to do, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? You can't leave it in there. Now, why can't you leave it in there? It sounds like it should be a klisheni. There's a problem with that. You can't leave it into a klisheni if you only did Eroy the day before. That's what he's saying. And there, what will happen? That means the day before you only did a klipa. And today it's going to be a vashel legami, and that would be a problem. And this is what we explained, that even though we don't punish those that are customary the other way, a better eitzah than all of this, to just use the essence, that you're not going to have to pour any more hot water into it, and the next day, Shabbos afternoon, when you want to have your tea, you pour your essence into the klisheni, into the hot, you know, the klisheni, l'tocho, but not the klisheni, and it's going to be made a klisheni. Who adin shemutu lasis l'so chakos hazeh, shehu klisheni chalav. You're even allowed to put in that cup, you're even allowed to put in milk that was cold. Aval asher laro salem mikli rishon, you're not allowed to pour onto the milk from a kli rishon, with the il b'sifdalet, or v'chesha essence shelo eno tzonein, hu bevadai tov lasis bazeh yidei kol hadeyos. Right, and when the essence isn't cold, as we explained in Siftal, when the essence isn't cold, okay, and this is certainly best. So even though before you put in the brackets, the Mishnah Berurah comes back and says, you know what, the best thing to do really is to use the liquid essence. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says to do.
And it has to stay hot?
No, it wouldn't have to stay hot. If you have a klisheni, you could take the essence and pour it into a klisheni. So Adkan Divrei Mishnah Berurah on the tea. Now the big thing that the Mishnah Berurah left out is noticeably absent from this treatment of the Mishnah Berurah is the concept of a kli shlishi, right? His concept of the third cup. So Moshe has in the Tshuvas that he believes, that he assumes that one could just you pour it from the urn into a cup, and then from that cup into a second cup, or a third, which would then be a third cup. I mean, the urn is cliché, rishon, the second cup is cliché, and then you pour it into the third cup, and you can put anything you want in there. Klishlishi ain't mavashel. Klishé, any questionable ain't mavashel. Klishlishi certainly ain't mavashel, says Rav Moshe. So those that are on the chumrah side will go back at him and say, wait a second, who said, where do you find anywhere in Shas that you see a klishlishi is not mavashel for anything? I mean, the only thing that you find in the Gemara is that a kli rishon is mavashel, a kli sheni is not mavashel except for certain things, and the Gemara ends there. The Gemara doesn't give any. Who says that just if you go from cup to cup to cup to cup to cup, that it's going to get any colder? I mean, it could be that the only het there is from a kli rishon to kli sheni is no such thing as a kli shlishi. That's the chumra side. Moshe says one could be makel, therefore one has the right to be makel. Now, it's also not true. It's not true that the Mishnah Berurah does not assume like a kli shlishi at all. In the next siman, as next sif, as we'll see, the Mishnah Berurah certainly knew about this concept of kli shlishi, and it's questionable what he thought about it. It's unclear what he thought about it, as we will see in the next siman. And it's unclear what that means by the T. Meaning, if Rav Moshe knew about it, and he specifically left it out of here, so what are the ramifications of that as well? Does that make it worse, right? So that's all of that is up in the air. There's one more.
The Mishnah Berurah didn't read Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe for sure read the Mishnah Berurah.
I say Halacha Kibasrai.
Well, I don't know.
I'm
not saying that. I'm just saying that in his cheshbon, he certainly doesn't know count whatever Mishnah Berurah said.
Right. I meant to look it up. What Rav Moshe says about it specifically. I forget if he quotes it or not.
This Basrai stuff so quick in a hurry. Depends who.
Right. Okay. So that's the T issue. There's one more chumra that we should know about when we learn this. So Lasky was always fond of pointing out there's a chumra. It's said over from the Chazon Ish that he had the following idea that normally what we've been saying is you take from the urn and pour that into a kli sheni. They take that kli shlishi and then you pour that into a kli shlishi, right? So the Chazon Ish said, who says, what's the standard case in the Gemara of a kli shlishi? The standard case of a kli shlishi in the Gemara is that you have a pot boiling, you pick the pot up and pour that into a second cup, right? As opposed to what's the urn? The urn is essentially, it stays hot, it never leaves the fire. So says the Chazon Ish, the first cup you pour in from an urn or from a hot sink is not a kli sheni, that's a kli rishon. Right? The first thing that it is when it's not on a fire is now this cup, and therefore that makes it a kli sheni. So he extends everything. So according to the Chazon Ish, if you want to hold of a kli shlishi, you'd have to hold of a kosher V, right? Because the cup you pour into is not a kli sheni, it's a kli rishon. You pour it into a kli sheni, and a kli sheni into a kli shlishi. Right? So you actually need an extra cup for that.
If you had a pot of water
would be okay.
That's the original.
Right. So the Rav Savolsky was always fond of the point of saying over in this part that chumra of the Chazon Ish is nowhere in the Kisvei Chazon Ish. It's only said over from the Chazon Ish, and Chazon Ish supposedly said that anything that you hear in my name that's not actually in print, you shouldn't bother believing. The problem is that Rav Chazon Ish never put that in print. He only said that over as well. So it's unclear what the ramifications are of that statement.
Pot that's on the fire that you pick up.
What?
You're saying a boiling pot. You take it off the flame, you pour it.
Right.
But you're saying it's going to cool off that quickly? And I would say the other way around. The urn is often not really boiling.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's actually cooler than a boiling pot.
I don't know. At some point, you got to leave. I think you got to leave the direct physics around this. I don't know. That's the chumra set over. I think this is assumed in B'nai Brak.
Also, the urn passes through usually a spout of some kind.
Right, it's true too. Right, he was talking about either a sink or he was... That chumra is not just a Hilchos Shabbos chumra, that's a Hilchos B'lias Kalim chumra. I mean, that means that any time you use hot water from the sink, that's not Eroi Kli. I mean, you, can assume usually anything that comes out of a sink, when it hits anything, then goes to something else, that's already kli sheni. So chazan risha, that's not true. It's still kli risha. It's using hot water from the sink, so that could treif up a lot more. You have a lot more possibilities of what to treif up, according to that chazan risha. That's where that chumrah also it becomes available. It's an easier way. You can, if you want to be makif chazan ish, you could also, you could, and you don't want to have 8 cups sitting there. You can also, I thought, although maybe chazan ish would say this isn't good either, you could take from the urn, pour it into a cup, pour it into cup number 2, and then pour it back into cup number 1. That would solve your, that would solve your problem.
So you have cup number 1 behind cup number 2.
It's a little confused.
It's hot, right? That's the shayla. That's the only subject that have against it, because the Tosu says the reason why this whole kalim business works is because the walls aren't hot. But if you pour from the cup into kalim, it could be that it won't. Okay. So sif hay. So sif hay already moves on to the next thing, but this klisheni business is still very much in play. Yish mishomer, there are those that say, who's he referring to? He's referring to the famous shita of Rav Eliezer Mimitz, the Sefer Yireim, quoted by the Tur. Somebody's around here. So yish mishomer, the davar shenafa o nitzla, something that was baked, or something that was roasted, in bashlu achar kach b'mashke yesh bo mishum bishul. If you then cook it in water, you are cooking it. The usher, you are cooking it. So let's just stop there for a second to understand what he's saying. Right? Now, what we have a concept called in bishul achar bishul, right? That if you have noodles that were cooked, and you'll put that into another pot of water, you're not going to be cooking those noodles anymore. What's in bishul achar bishul? So it says the Yireim, Based on Gemara and Psachim about matzahs, that matzahs were whether matzah is good if it's soaked in water and if it's soaked in boiling water. Right, there's a Gemara in Psachim about that. So what do we see from that? Says the Yireim, is that only works if you're doing the same type of cooking. But if you're going to change the manner of cooking, right? So now you're already in a different such a thing is possible. So this is the concept of yesh bishul achar afia, or yesh afia achar bishul. Or yish tzliach ar bishul, yish tzliach ar afia, right? That if you're using different types of cooking now, so the concept of yish tzliach ar bishul doesn't apply anymore. So that's,
let's say you boil up some noodles,
right?
And then you put some kind of like dressing on it. Like I don't know what it means. A mishim.
So
yish bo mishim. If you put a mashke on it, like a
no yish bo.
Wait.
No, if you put it into hot meat, if you put it into chicken soup. So if you take
chicken soup, okay.
So let's see the chumra here. So here's the big chumra. So therefore, the usser litain pas afilu b'kli sheni. So therefore, it's usser to take bread and dip it into a kli sheni shayatsu ladispo v'yishpatir. Those that matter it. Right, so what this is the isser of taking bread and putting it into soup. That if you let's get the ladle for a minute. If you're a bowl, you take from a pot and pour it into a bowl of soup. Right, so now you have a bowl of soup. That's a klisheni. Right, so klisheni, we're going to assume, like the previous chumrah and the previous sif, that klisheni is mavasho. Okay, we know it's mavashal some things. We don't know what it's mavashal. We'll say it's mavashal this. Right? So now you're taking bread. Bread was never cooked before. Right? Bread, although it's yavesh, was only baked. It was never cooked. So now I'm taking bread. I'm interacting it with hot water. What effect is that hot water having on the bread? It's cooking it. Right? So yesh bishal achar afia. That's the chumra of the Yireim. So you take two and two and put them together. It's right. So you get this chumra. The chumra of the challah and the soup chumra. Everybody got that, yeah.
Okay, same question. What does it mean to cook bread? The bread's baked. I can understand you wet the bread and something warm. What does it mean to cook the bread?
Yeah, so it's based on the Gemara Pesachim. Right, so it's based on the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim wants to know if I would take matzah and I would soak it in water, right? Would I be able to be Yotzi Mechiv of Pesach on it? Right, so the answer is yes. Are we passing yes? What about if I would drop it in boiling water? So the answer is no. Why? Was there some kind of bishul that took place on it? So you want to say, well, what's going on? So I don't know, but if you would then dry it out, would that matzah be any different constitution than matzah before it went into the water? I don't know. The Gemara assumes that it is, though. The Gemara assumes that it would be. Right? So if that's the case, so there's some kind of, right, there's some kind of effect took place on that. The same thing happens the other way. If you would take roast chicken from the soup, right, boiled chicken, right, and then put that on a fire, or put that on a blech, right, therefore drying out the chicken, right, so there it's clearly a different type of effect that it would have on the chicken, right?
So the same thing would apply to matzah, is that what I heard you say?
So the same thing would apply to matzah, correct, right? The same thing would apply to matzah. Right, so here is the... So those that still like this chumra, we'll read about it. We'll read about it. Yes? Uh-oh. Yeah?
Well, not all. Can you please continue? V'yesh mekilin.
Okay.
V'ilu bul b'kli rishon.
Okay.
It says, v'nahu b'lizayir.
All right.
Okay?
Right.
Okay? If there are those who are matir afilu b'kli rishon, what are you getting so bent out of shape for b'kli shaykh?
Okay, so plus you got to read further. Okay, so v'yesh matirin, right. There are those that matir it b'kli shaming, in the k'li shaming. We don't have to hold suit like this k'li shaming. One second, that's the next line. Right, so you got to understand. There's four shitas here that listen. All right, we've done number one. Number one is the chumra of the yireim. Number two is v'yesh matirin b'kli shaming. There are those that are matir in the k'li shaming. That's the mordechai.
That's
right, why is he assuming that?
The Ramah adds B'kli Sheni.
Well,
the Shulchan Aruch says V'yesh Matirin.
Well, right, well, the Ramah is also going to add B'kli Rishon in a second. I agree. Meaning, the Ramah is saying that the Sheet, he's talking about the Mechaber. He's saying the Sheetah that the Mechaber is quoting as the Heter, that of the Mordechai, right, is Matir. He's only talking about B'kli Sheni, not talking about B'kli Sheni. He's giving a Pirish to the Mechaber. Right, why is that? Well, he's going to say, come on, this whole Chumra of the B'kli Sheni is only a Chumra in the first place.
Right?
And we'll assume that it doesn't apply to things that were baked. And then he says, V'yesh makil and afil b'kli rishon. There are those that don't agree with this entire business. Right? There are those that assume that once it's baked, or once it's baked or cooked or roasted, it's not going to be anything else. It's done. It's cooked. There's nothing else to do with it.
You know what that is?
Yeah, I forgot to look it up. We can probably find it pretty easily here. I bet you it's the Ravya. I believe it's the Sheetas of the Ravya. I didn't read this whole thing. But and then finally comes the Rama. Okay. And then comes the Rama and concludes v'nagu lizaher l'chadchila shlo yitin pasafil b'kli sheni kol zman sheyatz l'edesvel. There are those that l'chadchila we should be machmir and not put bread into a kli sheni as long as it is yatz l'edesvel. Okay, ad kan the Ramah. That seems to be the way the Ramah is holding, that one shouldn't put bread in their soup. By the way, you know, those that hold this chumra, there's one major, major exception to this. It's yantif, right? It's yantif. No problem. You can have all the bread and matzah in your soup as much as you want, unless of course you're a long time gebrach sufferer. In which case, you're surely stuck. Okay.
Except for the last day of
Pesach. Which I never understood. Okay. Anyways, we're not going there. So comes the Mishnah Berurah.
Excuse me, it's worse. There were those who were, I don't know nowadays in America, but there were those in Europe who only didn't do Gebrachs the first 2 days of Pesach. The rest of the days they didn't figure that one out. I know people like that.
Probably has to do with the mitzvah of matzah, no?
Don't know.
Okay. Tzarechim. All right. So certainly tzarechim. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and assumes the Mem Aleph. Mishum Bishul. Right. The Achal Gav the Ein Bishul Achim. He explains this whole business that even though there Ein Bishul Achar Bishul B'davar Yavish with anything dry, we're in Mishnah Berurah Mem Aleph. Mikol Malkam Yish Bishul Achar Tzli. Right. There is Bishul after roasting. Right. It's a different style of cooking. Vafilu Adayin Rosach Malkam Tzli. Even if it's still piping hot, it just came off the grill. Right. You're still going to have a problem if you then go ahead and cook it. The same thing, the opposite, Tzli Achar Bishul. V'lachein asur litein davar sheni special eitzel ha'ish b'li rotav. Therefore, it is prohibited to take something that was cooked and put it by the fire without its rotav, without its gravy. Now, of course, that leads to a major problem because, of course, we know that it's prohibited to put something by a fire with rotav if the rotav is cold, right? You're not allowed to take it, you're not allowed to put the gravy by the, you know, you're not allowed to heat the gravy up if it is cold unless that's considered liquid. So you have to figure out what's the thing in the middle, right? So we discussed that during the Bishul Shiur. I assume we'll get up to it again someplace. So v'lav davka eitzel eish do adim b'chol makom, not just by the fire, but any place. So this is another problem. Do adim b'chol makom sheyochal latzos, any place where there's going to be dry heat, michom hatanor, any place that's going to be get heated up from the heat of the oven. V'achein tzarech lizar shel lahachzer baser mevusha b'li rotav. Therefore, we should be careful not to return cooked meat without rotav, without gravy, l'toch ha-tanner, into an oven, b'makom ha-chom, in a hot place, she'yat z'lespo, where it's hot, v'afilu im ya'midenu al-gabi k'deira ha-mafsekes, even if it's on top of a k'deira that is being mafsek. What's that k'deira that's being mafsek? What is that? Right? So you want to say it's the blach. Right? Well, so probably that's what it's saying. Right. So that's probably what it is. It probably is the blech, because in Shin Yilches Tezvav, it says you're allowed, in another 10 sifim, it says you're allowed to take cooked items and put it on top of a kedera, al gabi kedera, it sounds like. Right? So it sounds like this would be considered a blech, so that's not supposed to do, but to put it on top of something that's not mechzik and mevashel, you'd be okay. Everybody knows that there's no tzliach hatzli, but davar shenitzla mutar litein eitzel eish, if something was roasted, you'll have to put it by the fire. I feel in its tanin, even if it cooled off, l'vashelo yikrevenu b'yosir k'dei shelo lavo lachtoch, as long as you're not trying to make it more, to get more cooked, that you won't try to make the flame hotter. V'gam lo yamidenu al ha-karkoim, karkois ha-tanur, elai they hefzikli reikonis tahtel k'dei shelo yenirik mevashel, right, you shouldn't just put it on the floor, but rather it has to be some type of blech, as we assume in Simon Reishon and Gimel, right, as we pointed out in the first year, that the Dini de Rabbanon of Hilchos Bishul are 50 simanim before you get up to the Dini de Oraisa of Hilchos Bishul, which is what we're doing now.
Now, okay. On the Ein Afia Achar Afia, you could therefore take a challah, and you could stick it on top of of the fire on your oven.
Right, so that for sure.
And heat it up really hot.
Right,
you could make it toasty.
Right, right. To take a challah and to heat up a challah on Shabbos day would be mutter, as long as there's a blach.
Yeah,
right?
Same topic, right.
Now there is a what I was wondering about. I remember when I learned Fishel in yeshiva, so this was talked about in the shirim. I just don't remember what the answer was about making toast on Shabbos. It's one thing to take a challah, a whole challah, and put that on fire. Are you allowed to slice challah and put that and toast that? Right? In a way, you're not doing any more afiyah, right? You're not baking anymore. On the other hand, it's a clear difference that you're making and you're also enhancing, right? So is that that'd be mother or not?
What would be the, is there such a thing as tzliach harafiyah? Wouldn't that be a possible case?
That would be tzliach harafiyah, you think?
You think that's
it's possible?
Why? You're still using dry heat. You're still using, you use a blath, and there's a, you know.
So, are you not using, you're not exposing dry heat to the fire?
It probably won't. You probably can't get toast by putting it on a blath. You need like a flame, I think. You know.
Pretty hot.
We'd have to give you pretty hot.
It'll
get crusty. I'm not sure it'll turn like the brown.
All right, well, that's the experiment.
my wife often puts challah on in the oven.
We heat it up too, but we generally put it where it's wanted to put anything.
Well, we do
so
on
it gets warm, it doesn't get hot, but now.
It does get crusty. I mean, if you put the challah on the black, it gets sometimes hard to cut it. Harder to cut.
A lot of crumbs.
I know, cold.
But it just it get hard.
It usually gets cold by the time we get around to washing dishes.
Right. But you still have the Dini Derabbanan, you still have the Mesekim of Ashel issues, though.
Where? For what?
You're saying you put it on top of the Kedera Agave Kedera.
Yeah.
Right, so you're saying, why don't we just put it right on top of the blech?
I could put it on top of the blech.
Sounds like it should be permissible to put it on top of the blech. Okay. Think so, yeah. Right, so you're saying, okay, well, actually,
I mean, you can take it and put it on the blech away from the fire. You know, just like you can, you have right. Other things that way. But here you can put it right on top of
the fire. So what else? We also litain pass. So that's right. Also litain pass. Also to put bread. Hosef bazed din acher. Vatam the sfirulei. He puts in one more. This is the bread inside the soup. So he adds another din. Vatam the sfirulei l'day azu. Diyesh devarim shemispash them afil b'klisheni. Plus he's adding in. He's adding in another chumer here. Right. But he's assuming that there are things that are cooked within the klisheni. Mishnei shehim rachim. Ve'in anu b'kim. We're not sure what's what. Ve'alkorcha hosef lastro litain pasa afui dehu rachecha afil b'klisheni. Therefore you're not allowed to put even baked bread, which could be cooked even in a klisheni. But there are those that are machmir with everything else, right? We see from here also, according to this day, we should be machmir with everything not to put into a klisheni. So even though this chumra of not putting anything into a klisheni is normally attributed to the Magen Avraham, so here you see the Mishnah is pointing out there's pretty strong source within the Mechaber that he assumed like that as well, right? That he assumed, or at least within the Urim, that he assumed like that as well. So we could skip a little bit. I guess it's all one thing really. Alright, so to Memhei. So we skip to Memhei, three lines from the bottom, and this we'll do this. Memhei is a nice chunk, and then we'll call it a night. So v'nogu lihi zahir. So per she'ein nosnim lechem v'merek shel hachulat. So what do we see from here? That one shouldn't take the bread and put that into the chulant, into the, at least the soupy part of the chulant. Bekara shehi klisheni, even though that's a klisheni, right? So it should be the same thing, right? If you have a chulant, it's a klisheni, okay. Bekol shekein shizar shelo yatlaro selim ikli rishon. Certainly you're not allowed to pour from a kli rishon directly onto the bread, because that would be a problem. Shechotkim habit solim. Mikli rishon, period. But osam shechotkim habit solim, and then those that cut up onions, right, and osam latoch ha-merchim, put that in the chulant, oh boy, look at Bekara, lo yasimu rak achar shelo tia yad, so let us be merik. You can't put that until afterwards, until the merik is no longer yad, so let us be. At which point, what do we do with it? It goes into the fridge, so it's not really going to help you very much.
Yad, so let us means it burns your hand, right?
Yeah, but as we said, yetzlas is a pretty is not that hot. Someone gave me a lemaisa 110 last week.
That's 110 is the least that I saw. In
right.
Print 114 is what Shemir Shabbos says.
Right.
120. There's some who hold 120.
Some 120. So somebody said.
Can you actually measure on Shabbos?
What?
Maybe
it's
120.
What does 120
do
me?
I had to find out because I got an email from my brother-in-law on a cruise about how is he going to heat up his food, which I'm like, he couldn't call me before you. but whatever, call from on Thursday night. What am I going to do? Alright, anyways. I mean, also the Toch America Carlo Yasimarak Acher Shaloti Hayat Saladas. And he should put in until after it's yatzalez. But merk the belechem yesh kula machmas shenach hakfar. And there, therefore, there's a kula that was already baked. Afilu hachni zaram kosha came to betzalim shetzarach li zaher ki ein anu bekiim b'midei de mikre rachich. And you should be careful with onions; you don't really know what's considered hot and cold, etc. But kosha came l'fimah shenogim litin habetzalim l'toch hatavshel shu davar gush. And certainly, you have to be nervous with putting into a cooked thing which is a davar gush, which is something solid, right? If it's solid, even though it left from a kli rishon into a kli sheni, so then it's still considered a kli rishon, right? That's what a davar gush. A davar gush is something solid, so we assume that the kula, right, the idea that it hits the walls, is not really going to help very much. Chulant is the borderline, I think, of whether it's a davar gush or not. Usually, what?
There's all different chulants.
Right. It's my focus. Lithuanians and Romanians and Polish, I'm not getting there. Yeshli Zarba said the Yesh Poskim Shasov Davar Gush and Munach the Klisheni Dina Kli Rishon. Was there many Poskim that assume that that Davar Gush and the Klisheni is really a Kli Rishon, and that's for another time. Okay. Vafilu im yamtin achiye bemerik bekara ina yatzles. But even if you wait until it's not hot so much anymore, mikolok mizar shelo yishpach achach al shiuri habitzom, you still should be machmer not to pour it onto the bitzom. Shenisha bekara min hamerik should be kadera im hayatzul lettuce behem to iroi mevash lekadei klipa. What are we saying here? Okay, even if the you want to take doubles, right? So the chillant on your plate cooled off, and now you want to take more chillant from the pot and put that in. So if that chillant is hot, and you still have onions, raw onions that are sitting on your plate, so you got to be careful about that. Yeah, so that's from the Irum Mevash for the Klipa. Okay. V'chein mashin noagim eze hanashin. Okay. And some people, when they, kishe osin chamim miragli behema, they make some kind of food from the legs of animal. Lachto chatichas pas bekli. Vilaros alehem merek shel regalim, that they put their bread into a kli and they pour upon him this cow leg soup. Sounds like, I'm not sure what that is. The kli rishon lo yafahem osim, they're not doing good. Okay, so take bread and pour hot soup on that. Don't do that. Okay, that will all be maskim too. That filu im lo yitin apas b'tchila ashayar merek tchila, because even if they didn't put the bread in first, but they put the soup in first, the kli, right? So you have soup in a kli. K'dei sheyase kli sheni, such that that kli is a kli sheni. Halo kasav rama deishazar b'zeh. The Rama says to be machmer on this. Ela im rotze, rather what you if you want litin pas, you want to put in bread. You have to wait. Yamtin achlo yehayat soledespo. You should wait until it's not yet soledes anymore. Bemerek o shelchol hapachos, or at least yishoy bekaf min hakadera. You should use a kaf, a ladle, to get out of the kadera. K'nishatiyah hakara kli shlishi, so that your bowl will be a kli shlishi. That's where the Mishnah Berurah talked about this kli shlishi. Right? He says if you use a kaf to get it out, so your kaf, your ladle is a kli sheni, and your bowl is a kli shlishi, and that should be, it sounds like that should be okay. Now, is he saying that, now what does that mean? Is he saying that l'chatchil, or is he saying that b'dieved? Right? Is the Mishnah Berurah excited about that, or is he not excited about that?
I would say Rav Moshe would use it as a l'chatchil. If Rav Moshe uses a kli shlishi, which he didn't even talk about with tea,
well, he's even. Well, I'll show you something else shortly about this ladle business, but just assuming the ladle is a cliche, and he's saying, yeah, Rav Moshe would assume for sure that a soup is a cliche. That's not a shaila. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, if you want to be machmer on the kli shlishi business, what does the Mishnah Berurah really hold about a kli shlishi? Right? What does he really hold? Does he hold that it exists, or does he hold that it not exists? Or does he hold that it only exists for the purpose of this whole bread chumrah, which isn't really a big deal to begin with? I mean, the whole thing, you might only be saying it here, and not about tea, because here, he's talking about it with regards to bread. The idea that you can't put bread into soup is the chumrah of the yoreya, which you may not hold like in the first place. So there, maybe the Mishnah would be willing to give it on the kli shlishi. But by the tea, maybe he's not. So that it's sarachin on what he says by this kli shlishi. By the way, in your Mishnah Berurah, there's a little footnote by the word kli shlishi. Do you have that? All right, so my footnote sends me to Sifkatan Pei Zion. So let's just take a look there. Sifkatan Pei Zion, in two pages later, on page 274, where he talks about this ladle business.
Is that yours?
That's me, yeah. So kli sheni, you see Pei Zion about five lines from the top. It says kli sheni mikre kesheiru min kli rishon shartichu hachamim betocho. Kli sheni, it's called the kli sheni when you pour from a kli rishon into something else. Umutar afili meyatz lespo, even if it's yatz lespo, it's still kli sheni. Aval im shovav bekli reikan mitoch kli rishon. But if you draw with an empty bowl from a kli rishon, what's that? That's a ladle, right? Yesh omrim de dinu ka kli rishon. That's not a kli sheni, that's a kli rishon. right? Because you're dipping it into the Kli Rishon. It's Al Ha'esh, right? And you're drawing things out. That's a Kli Rishon. Ufradi Masha Kli Reikon, specifically, if you leave it in there a little bit, Ad Shemala Reticha Vada Mikre Kli Rishon, until it becomes hot, it's certainly called a Kli Rishon. So that's the.
If you dip it in and take it out, you're not
modeling, there's no... Well, he's saying, Mishavar is saying that if you dip it in, Yesh Omrim, that makes it a Kli Rishon. It's certainly, if you leave it in, it's a Kli Rishon. I mean, certainly if I leave it in while it's on the fire, so certainly the walls of that ladle become hot. He's saying,
so how did we get it? But over there, a ladle is a cliche. Over here, a ladle is a cliche.
No. So he's, I mean, that's what he needs a footnote for. He's saying a ladle is a cliche, but there's a hint here saying, but remember what the whole business with ladle is. Meaning, once you learn that, then anytime you come across a ladle anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, you'll remember, oh yeah, this whole thing with a ladle, is a ladle really a cliche? Right? So that's the Lemaskana. It's a Shiloh with the soup. That's what they are. We'll tie up the loose ends next week. All right, here she comes.
I can have my